We're on the record. I'm Sheila Cass. Good morning. With all the grim news battering Baltimore this week, let's take a few minutes to celebrate the good fortune that befell five local nonprofits 2 weeks ago. Major gifts that could be transformative. Wide Angle Youth Media, Baltimore Tree Trust, Govan's Economic Development Corporation, St. Francis Neighborhood Center, and Marion House each received $2 million from billionaire philanthropist Mackenzie Scott. This morning, we're taking a closer look at one of those recipients, Marion House. The nonprofit serves women and families and offers shelter and treatment for substance abuse, trauma, and mental illness. Social worker Katie Alston is the president and CEO of Marion House. She's led the organization for more than a decade. Katie, good morning.
Good morning. Thank you for having us.
And Novlette Houghton is a graduate of Marion House. Today, she is a legal advocate at the Maryland Volunteer Lawyer Service. Welcome, Novlette.
Good morning. Thank you for having us.
Congratulations, Katie. What was it like to get this news?
Oh, the most exciting moment of my life, almost, to be certainly professionally speaking. It was an email, of all things, that I couldn't finish reading when the $2 million price tag was in the line. So there was much rejoicing, jumping up and down, screaming. Then, of course, I continued reading the email and learned that it was supposed to be a secret, so I had to be quiet.
Oh, my goodness. How long did you have to keep that secret?
Almost 2 weeks.
Oh,
and
my goodness.
It was really tough. It was tough. It literally made me sick, anxious.
Oh.
I had trouble sleeping. I've been much better since last Tuesday.
Since you can talk about
it. Yes, absolutely.
Give us a sense of the scope of Marion House program. How many people do you serve each year? How do they get connected to Marion House?
Yes, we have a transitional program, both for single women and for families. Our family program serves about 20 families at a given time, or up to 20 families, depending on the size of the families. And we also have a single women's program that serves about 42 women at a given time. And then we also have permanent supportive housing, and we have over 100 women and families in the permanent supportive housing program. So all of our services are primarily done in residential setting, and so while we have folks cycle in and cycle out through the period of a year, that is sort of the scope of the number of women who are in our housing and therefore getting all of our extensive support services at a given moment.
And how do people find you? How do people come to you?
They find us every way possible. They certainly get referred to us by social workers, counselors, folks that they are working with. Most of the women are coming to us from a situation of homelessness, from a substance abuse program. They might be incarcerated in either a local detention center or the prison. And so we're usually getting a referral to plan an exit, to make a transition from wherever the woman is in that moment, knowing that she can't stay forever or that she needs a supportive environment for her to land in when she's exiting that particular situation. And that's really what Marion House is about. It's about being a place for the women to come, to be able to call it home. I mean, we are very much a program where the women live with us and we don't want them to feel like they're in a shelter, even though we are providing shelter. We want them to feel like they are home and they can sit and stay in that place and get all of the supports that they might need to then move on to that next step in their life.
Novlette, you've been nodding while Katie is describing this. In 2014, you came to Marion House. You were experiencing homelessness and were not able to live with family. How did Marion House help?
First key word is embrace. They embraced me. I didn't fit the criteria of regular outpatient shelters. I didn't have a minor that I was caring for, and I didn't have a substance abuse problem. With that being shared, I was placed on the bottom of the totem pole when it came to finding housing because, of course, there were others that trumped me, rightfully so. They had children and families.
The bottom of the list at other places.
That is correct. I was referred to Marion House by a graduate. In my opinion, my joke with Katie all the time is that Marion House is one of the best kept secrets. And I think that we should branch out and just shout from the rooftops, because the fact that we deal on a holistic approach, that alone is unique compared to other transitional shelters. And with that being shared, I showed up at the Marion House's door. I'll never forget it. 11:02 a.m. on a Wednesday. I didn't have anywhere else to go. and I showed my documents of all the other places that had told me that I could no longer be there, like other treatment services that I went through, because I just didn't fit their guidelines. The young lady that answered the door was a resident. She could tell I was crying. The first thing that she told me to do was come on in. She had me sit down in our waiting area, offered me a glass of water, and said that she was going upstairs to get our intake coordinator, which is Miss Cynthia Jackson. She went upstairs. Miss Jackson came downstairs. I explained my situation in private. She told me to give her a few minutes. She came back down a half an hour later, and she was able to tell me, I'm going to be in touch within 48 hours. Let me verify the documents that I read. Let me talk to my team about this and give me a number and I'll contact you. Lo and behold, Marion House kept their word. 48 hours later, I was a new resident.
And what happened then?
New direction, new journey.
How?
Support. Well, let's begin with the fact that I'm naturally an introvert. So with the fact that I was dealing with homelessness and I was in a new environment around new individuals, not knowing what to expect, of course, hearing great things about the Marion House, but hearing things and experiencing two different situations. So I isolated myself, to be quite honest. We each have individual rooms that we sleep in. We have activities throughout the day, must go to all of them, complete them. However, when you have your downtime, we have a beautiful, great room. When I mean beautiful, I mean absolutely beautiful. All of the residents come, we relax, we play games. That wasn't my thing. What changed my life was the fact that the residents and the staff realized that I was purposely isolating myself and they wouldn't allow me to do it. And when I mean wouldn't allow me to do it, knocked on the door. Hi, we're playing Uno. We would love another partner. The staff. Hi, I have some chicken that I'm down here doing. Would you like to help me clean it? Or would you like to do this? Or would you just like to come and sit with me? The love and the support, you realized after a while it was genuine. It wasn't out of a script. It wasn't, oh, we're the Marion House staff and this is what we're going to do. No. They really offer genuine love. So that's why I said new direction and new journey, because they helped me along the way.
This is On the Record on WYPR. I'm Sheila Kast, speaking with Novelette Halton, a graduate of Marion House, and with Katie Alston, who leads Marion House, which offers shelter and rehabilitative services for women and families. The nonprofit is one of five in Baltimore that each received $2 million from philanthropist Mackenzie Scott. Katie, how are the services you provide, from shelter to counseling to substance abuse treatment, how are they paid for?
Oh, we raise money every way you can imagine. We write sappy letters and we post on Facebook and we have events. We have a 5K every fall that we've had for 15 years. We write grants from private foundations to, you know, government grants. So we're really doing every piece of the spectrum of fundraising. It's a daily task, a daily grind of working to raise all of the funds that we need to provide the myriad of services that we're providing every day.
And I gather at some point you lost funding from the federal government and from the city because your approach is not one that's, I guess, very much in vogue now, called Housing First, which, as I understand it, is basically the idea that if we get somebody under a roof, a stable housing situation, then they can work on their problems.
Yes, our transitional programs specifically lost all of the funding from HUD and then also from the state homeless office because we would not agree to shift our program to be Housing First. To do so would have meant that, number one, they wanted us to rush women through the program. Their thought was, as long as a woman was at Marion House, we were prolonging her homelessness, which we believe very much we're providing a home, and that while the women are with us, we're providing them the support and the care they need to actually succeed when they leave. And then also it would have meant that all of our services would have had to have been no longer mandatory, but optional. So it would mean a woman could come into the program and say, I don't want to be involved in cooking dinner, and I don't want to, go to group, and I don't want to see my therapist. And we actually believe very much that requiring all of these services is sort of the key to success for many of the women who come through the door. in a loving way, we are providing them this structure to address all of the issues that have led them to whatever situation, you know, brought them to our door. And so we don't want to make those things optional. And I think it's important to know we do have an intake process. We are letting every woman who expresses interest in coming to Marian House know what's going to be expected so that they can say, no, never mind. I don't need a program like that. I'm just looking for a place to sleep. Then they can go to another shelter, another program. But our women are saying, I need this structure. I need someone to tell me what time to get up in the morning and where to be and what group to go to. I need to learn all of these things. Sometimes they get a little frustrated along the way with all the structure and the rules, I'll admit that. But to have continued to accept that particular government funding, we had to make all of our services optional. And again, really try to rush women into a permanent housing situation, perhaps before they had actually addressed their substance use disorder, before they had addressed their history of trauma, et cetera.
So how long is a woman or a family usually with you?
You know, it does depend on the woman and the family and their obstacles and their issues and their needs. So it could be 8 months, it could be a year, it could be 16 months. It does depend. Our single women's program has two phases, for example. So some women choose to go to the second phase, some women do not. It depends on if they have somewhere else to go, if they have family that they can, you know, move in with, or they have gotten a job already and perhaps are ready to get their own place. So there's options. I mean, you know, I will say that there's no, each individual woman is dealt with as an individual and unique woman whose path is going to be tailored to her needs and her desires and her goals.
Now, but over time, you came to serve on the board of Marian House and then left the board in order to work as a receptionist and then case manager for Marian House. What was it like to be on the other side, going from receiving services to providing them?
Well, honestly, it was an honor. The reason that the volunteer came about was, of course, because of the pandemic. We wanted to continue to serve our women. We didn't want to put a halt on anything that was going on. I was currently going to online classes. So what a better way to spend my days than at the Marian House, giving back. Now, I'm going to be quite honest and share. I've been a receptionist in the past, very good with speaking, answering telephones. However, one thing that I can say during pandemic, Katie wore every hat there was, and I made it a part of my business to mimic her. You know why? I wanted to lighten any load that she was adding on to her plate already. And with that being shared, when I tell you those months, now, of course, the pandemic wasn't anything nice to speak of, but working alongside the staff at Marian House and assisting the residents on a whole different level, when you're talking about feeling your worth, that's exactly what I felt during that time. I felt needed, I felt wanted, and I definitely felt like I was giving back in a different way. Now, don't get me wrong, being on the board, I love it. I love having my colleagues. But it was a different feeling to actually interact with the residents and be able to give back from what I learned when they're just in the beginning process. It felt so really good for me to listen to them saying, well, you know, this is going on right now, and I don't know how I'm going to feel about this. And I was able to share my experience. The person that purposely isolated themselves in the room was able to actually share the bright side of what the future is going to look like if we just continue with Marian House. If we just continue with it, I promise you it's not a fail.
And today, Navlette, you work for the Maryland Volunteer Lawyers Service. What do you do there?
I'm a legal advocate. We handle civil issues. So in a nutshell, we assist community members that are facing legal issues or injustices that they can't fight alone. I actually have my bachelor's in criminal justice and was gung-ho that I wanted to work with the Department of Juvenile Services. I wanted to focus on the youth. Had a change of plans. I was interested in estate plan and estate administration, looked up the mission and values at MVLS. I said to myself when I read the job description, this is me. You know, when you throw things out in the universe, it reciprocates. So I've been happily there. Actually, next month will make 2 years. So everything aligns. It really aligns. The release of the trauma that I had through therapy at the Marion House allowed me to shine bright because I had a little dark cloud in me. So once I was able to leave there, I graduated in 10 months. I went on and went to school. In 2019, I became a board member. In 2020, I graduated with my bachelor's. I began volunteering at BCCC, Baltimore City Community College, for individuals under the age of 25 that had a 2.0 GPA. We had to bring that GPA back up so we could move on. And here I am.
Katie, what kind of freedom do you have with the funds from Mackenzie Scott's Foundation, Open Yield?
I think you said the key word there, honestly, Sheila, freedom. That is exactly what this gift is, and that's what's truly astounding, is that they just gave it to us and said, do it with it what you feel is best to be done. I'm not even aware of any reporting requirements, which is beyond astounding. And so we really get to spend some time now dreaming about how that money can best be used to further our mission and to serve the women who are out there in the community who need us, who perhaps we're not, you know, able to reach. And certainly it also takes some of the just general pressure off us as an organization, as you asked before, who has to, we will continue all of our fundraising efforts and continue to need the support of our donors and our community. And this will be that extra piece that will help us to be able to see how we can extend further.
And Novla, from your perspective, what kind of opportunities do you think this opens up?
Mm. Mm. This is nice.
What should we do, Novlad?
Well, as I said earlier when we spoke, I believe that the Marion House should be all over. Honestly, I know firsthand that there are so many women that are leaving incarceration and would love to come to the Marion House. Some are far away. Some homes are in Eastern Shore. Some are in different counties. We're not located out there. With that being shared, I would love to see us branch out. I'm going to say that. That way we could just continue to do what we do, which is help women move from dependence to independence.
I'm so grateful to have talked to both of you. Thank you and congratulations.
Thank you.
Katie Alston is the president and CEO of Marion House. Novlette Houghton is a graduate of the program and a legal advocate with the Maryland Volunteer Lawyer Service. Short break on the record. When we're back, a Stoop Story. I'm Sheila Cass. Stay with us.